We're still looking today. We're going to look at the name above every name. God's still dealing with me along these lines and about ministering in these things. And we're looking at the name above every name, which is the name of Jesus, is what we're talking about. And one of the scriptures that we have been using in this foundation, in this teaching, is over in the book of Philippians is a scripture that we're using there. And I was going to look over at that scripture in Philippians in the second chapter in verses 9 and 10 says, therefore God also has highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus, and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those in heaven, those in earth, and those under the earth. So God gave Jesus a name, and that name that he gave Jesus is a name that is over in all authority in heaven and in earth and under the earth. And we've taught, and we can't go back over everything that we've taught on the subject, but we know this from the things that we have read and looked at, that God, when Jesus Christ left this earth after his resurrection, he left this earth and he told the disciples that they were supposed to go into the world and preach the gospel, and he said that these signs would follow them that believe. And he said, in my name, the first thing he mentioned was cast out devils. In other words, dealing with demonic powers. You know, it isn't by chance that the first one on the list was dealing with demonic powers. Because we have, from a scriptural standpoint, in Ephesians 6:12 says this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. In other words, why would he tell us, why would he tell the disciples, you go preach the gospel, the people who believe this gospel, these signs are going to follow them, and the first one is to cast out devils. We're dealing with demonic powers. Most of the world is trying to deal with everybody, you know, just from the human. You know, we're going to take people that are in prison, we're going to turn around and give them some good psychological teaching, and they're just going to become better people. Well, that sure hasn't worked. I can't even get that to work among church people. You can't get that to work in people that aren't in jail. And if it ain't working with the people who aren't in jail, it ain't going to work on the people on the outside. You got to know where the core of the problem is. That's one thing. See, when I got born again, God dealt with me about the core of my problem. It was about my inner man. It was what my inner... See, I was lost in sin, and my lost in sin, therefore my mind thought in line, and my mind was trained in line with what my inner man was like. And God taught me that if I didn't develop the inner man and the outer man still would dominate, my life would not change even though I was born again. That's why many people get born again and their life never changes. Their life doesn't change because they don't develop the inner man. They learn just to walk just like they did before by what they see on the outside. What everybody says, this is the way it is and this is the way it goes. This is the way you have to do it. And everybody, just like a bunch of little monkeys, just copy right off and right down the road and just follow. Really, they don't believe they're doing it, but they're following satanic powers leading them to destruction. And it will lead you to destruction. You know, the Bible tells us we're not supposed to be doing and taking on the ways of the world. Yet the ways of the world dominate Christianity in America. The ways of the world, they're doing everything the world does. They do it just like the world does. Anything that the world accepts, most of the churches, well, yeah, we might as well take it. You know, I'll tell you, you know, if sin's all right, well, this sin's all right and it's okay, well, then okay, then we'll accept it too, okay? You guys will accept it, we will too. We'll do that. And so, you know, you'll get people say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, what do they do about it? Nothing. People today will sit in churches, pay pastors to teach them things they don't believe in. I've had people come and tell me, you know, they're sitting in church denominations telling me they don't believe in what they preach, but yet they go there every Sunday and put their money in the plate. Well, what a knucklehead. Any moron, and I'm not being unkind, a person is a moron who pays somebody to teach them what they don't believe. You're an idiot. See, I believe the Bible is true, and I got a minister standing up there telling me it's not. And I'm going to pay him. You know, and God sent me here to change him. No, God was sending anybody, he'd send them somewhere to change them. You know, the Bible says this, don't go there to change them. It says, come out from among them, the last time I read the book. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. See, there's a different gospel preached today. There's a different Jesus that's preached in the church. The church today hears a message of everybody's got to get along. I'm going to tell you what, we ain't getting along if you don't believe the Bible. Because I'm siding with the Jesus of the Bible. That's the only one I know, and I ain't listening to another one. And so that's the one I'm going to follow, because that's the one that made me free. That's the one that delivered me from alcoholism and drugs and all the nonsense and crazy stuff that I did. That's the one that delivered me from that. That's the one that delivered me from all the perverted stuff and everything else. He's the one that, and that's the one that was in the Bible, and he's the one they don't like today. He's the one that they tell us today, oh, it don't matter if you do those things, everything's all right. Well, it sure isn't, folks. It's sure not all right. Hallelujah. The Jesus that I found changed my life. I want to read that Ephesians 6:12 to you. What it says here in the 20th century New Testament says, for ours is no struggle against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the various powers of evil that hold sway in the darkness around us, against the spirits of wickedness on high. We need to understand, when we talk about darkness, and the Bible is talking about darkness, we need to understand there's spiritual darkness around us. A born-again Christian walks in the light. When you're walking in the light, you can see the spiritual darkness around you. And this is one thing, as I know, is most of the church world hasn't been taught the truth because they don't see the spiritual darkness that's around them. They are in the darkness. They're walking in it, and that darkness holds them. They're always fighting flesh and blood. They're always fighting other people trying to get things up. They don't realize the core of what the problem is. And it's one thing, is, you know, it's like the Lord said to me years ago, which helped change me. He said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. You know, when you only deal with people, you're only trying to deal with symptoms. That's the manifestation of the devil through people. You keep trying to deal with the manifestation. No, you got to go to the core. And the Lord showed me that. You got to go to the core of the problem. You're out here seeing a symptom, and you're trying to deal with the symptom, but that's not the core of the problem. You have to find out what it is. You know, it's just like doctors, you know, treat people. My brother one time went to a doctor, and he told him he had high blood pressure and wanted to put him on blood pressure medicine. My brother said, well, why do I have high blood pressure? The doctor said, I don't know. He said, you're not interested in finding out? Well, actually, the doctor wasn't. Oh, you just take a medication, it'll bring it down. See, he wasn't a doctor. I can do that. We don't need to pay some guy, you know, $150 an hour who don't do nothing. Well, I'm sorry, some of them don't. You know, some of them are lousy. All he wanted to do, you just take the medicine. Well, my brother said, I ain't taking your medicine. I want to find out why my blood pressure's high. So he found out some things and got his blood pressure down. Didn't have to take the medication. Knew more than the doctor did. My words, the doctor spent all that money going to college, and it didn't do him a bit of good. Why? Because he never learned to find the core of problems. And you know what? You as a Christian, you need to know that. If you want to change your life, you got to be able to find out the core of your problems. If you don't find out the core of your problems, you'll never change. If you think it's somebody else, oh, if this person, this would change my life. See, I thought when I got to be saved, if these other people around me, including my wife and them, if they would just do certain things that I wanted, things would just be a lot better for Ed. And I found out that didn't change a thing. That changed nothing. It didn't matter because it, you know, still had to live with it. I've done this on a number of occasions, counseling people who were in a divorce situation. And they, you know, and I knew they had some real problems. And, you know, the person's coming, they keep talking about the other person. And I said, you know, if you divorce them and leave them, it ain't going to work out any better for you because wherever you go, you're going to be with. And that's the problem. It's you. You're a problem. And you won't deal with you. It's everybody else. See, I'm going to wrestle with flesh and blood. The reason I'm miserable in life, it's everybody else, you know. I'd just be a lot happier person if it wasn't for, you know, Mike here. I'd just be a lot happier, you know. But you know, people get over things. They get over things. No, if I can't take things in life, there's something wrong with me. You know, Jesus never came down and said, you know what the problem is around here? I'd be a lot happier guy if it wouldn't be for you people. He went to the cross for humanity. He dealt with the problem humanity was dealing with. It was Satan. That's what he dealt with. And the church ever since went to psychology. trying to use psychology to deal with a problem that is spiritual. Psychology don't fix spiritual problems. And so I had to find out what was wrong with Ed spiritually. I got a new spirit, but my new spirit didn't know a whole lot about things. I learned to feed it things, get things into it so I could get my mind renewed, so I could begin to think different. And really, my first 3 years of Christianity, God just working on Ed. God just working. And I'm going to tell you what, I didn't think he would probably talk into any of you guys. I thought his hands were probably full just dealing with me. I thought, I feel sorry for the rest of the people in the world because God's only talking to Ed, because he's always talking to Ed, dead straight, you know, trying to deal with me about things about my life. Whenever I try to blame somebody else for something that they did, God would always, well, you did this. Yeah, but it wasn't as bad as his, but God didn't view it that way. So you need to understand that when you put it over here, when you try, when you minimize other people to try to build yourself up, you just step, put yourself over in a place where you're going to get worse. Things are going to get worse for you. You can't do that. God would never allow me to do that. Somebody else, no matter what they did, I had to deal with my problems. I had to deal about me. Am I going to correct me? Am I willing to do that? Well, he dealt with me. It wasn't always very easy. I didn't like sometimes what he revealed to me. Sometimes I'd get upset for a few days. I'd think, well, why don't he let me alone? You know? But you know, he loved me and he didn't let me alone. He didn't let me alone. He kept dealing with me and dealing with me and dealing with me. You know, God's patient. He didn't quit because, boy, that knucklehead don't seem like he's ever going to change. God just kept dealing with me and dealing with me and dealing with me. And he worked things out in my life. But we're dealing with these powers. There's evil powers. There's darkness in this world. And it has nothing to do with sunlight. You know, people read the Bible in the beginning and the Bible says, God, when God said, let there be light, people turn around and read that and say, well, you know, sunlight hit the earth. The sun wasn't even created till later. There was darkness. In other words, God's presence was not on the face of this earth. Nothing changes till God's presence can come. If you don't let God's presence get into your life, you're going to stay in darkness. You can withhold the presence of God from you and you'll stay in the area of darkness. You don't want to do that. You want to be open to allow the presence of God, because when the presence of God came upon the face of the earth, when that light came, everything changed. Creation began. Creation took place and began to change the face of the earth. The presence of God is what you need in your life to change your life. You need it. You need the light of God, not something else. Like Mike said, it's the word, the wisdom of God, the word of God. You need the light of God. If you can't see things in the light of God, you can't see what's really going on or what's really happening. You won't know what it is. I was just reading some articles about people in psychiatry and the things that they do in training people in psychiatry and some of the stuff that they do and the methods that they use. I mean, I'm sitting down reading. These are the major psychiatrists using these methods, and they admit they don't work. I mean, but you're charging people $200 an hour to do what you know don't work.
But it makes us feel good.
Makes me feel like I'm trying to help. Well, you could try to help a lot cheaper, you know. you know, it's like, dear Lord. It's like, if you know what doesn't work. I'm tired. I am tired of doing things that don't work. I'm tired of beating the same old cows. I'm tired of people come along and say, well, you do it this way. We've been doing it for 20 years that way. It never works. You've been doing it, it hasn't changed, nothing ever works. But we're just doing it this way because, well, religion has us doing it this way. This is the way we do it. I'm sorry, I'm interested in what works. I want to know what God's light is saying to me. I want to know what God's speaking to me about. I want to know what works. I want to see what's going on around me. Now, we want to look at the fact, one of the things that people in dealing with, we know in the Bible tells us about Jesus Christ, Him defeating Satan, but you need to get across with this. If we're going to deal in the spirit realm, we have to know who has authority in the spirit realm. We need to know where that's, where the authority lies. And we need to understand this. While you're living right now, today in this earth, you're here in this earth, the spirit realm of this earth, there's in this globe, we need to understand, where this earth set. There's a spirit realm and a spirit realm around us. Like people talk about, well, there's three dimensions. People say four dimensions, that stuff. We need to understand there is dimensions that you don't see, that you can't see. The spirit realm, the Bible talks about. Faith operates in a realm of unseen. What is that realm? That's the spirit realm. The spirit realm is real and it works, and you have to understand this. This is the realm where spirit beings live. You have a spirit. You are a spirit being. Now you live in this earth. Your spirit is in your body. That's why the Bible says the body without the spirit's dead. It ain't talking about the Holy Spirit, it's the human spirit. The body does not die when brain function stops. Science tells us it does, yet they have been proven time and time again that don't. Just here not long ago, they've had two people the doctors have declared dead, they said they had no brain functions for weeks on end until the family turned around and was going to turn the machines off on the people, and the people came back to life. Why? Their spirit hadn't left their body. Now you have to know, I've been around when machines were keeping people alive, and I knew this, it ain't nothing but machine there. I knew their spirit left. But see, people don't know, people cannot know what's going on. So people are always, I was reading a thing where doctors had turned around and had a woman dead here just not long ago, and they were talking about the incident. They had her dead, put her in the morgue, she was in the morgue for about a day or so, came back to life. So then you need to understand this. What they tell us is fact ain't fact. It's not fact. The Bible tells us when a person's dead, if your spirit leaves your body, you're a goner. Because your spirit is the life of your body. Your human spirit is what makes it work. Is why this thing's alive. So we need to understand that. But see, we're dealing with a realm of the spirit, and so you have to know who you are, what you are. Most people think it's all about the body, it's all about the flesh. It's about your inner man, it's about the spirit, it's about you being alive. Our authority that was given to us by Jesus Christ was authority given to us in the realm of the spirit, because that is the place of control. The New Testament teaches us that this realm that we live in was created out of the realm of the spirit. If it was created from that realm, then that's the real realm. Then that's the place, that's the main place, the realm of the spirit. This physical realm was not created by a physical God. You're sitting on a physical chair. That physical chair exists only today is because a spiritual God created a physical world. And you know what the Bible says about the chair you sit on? It's temporal. It's going to end one day. This realm as we know it's going to end one day. It's going to be gone. People who gear their life around this and follow the flesh and follow that, they ain't going to end up where they want to be. We need to understand this. See, Jesus Christ came. He delivered man spiritually. Man has been delivered. You and I have authority. It's not authority over people. It's authority in the realm of the spirit. And we have to know that. That realm, the realm of God, where God is, that's the place that many people were trying to get God to heal us. God's out there. You need to understand this. Man, through wisdom, learned how to develop and things with doctors. But God, when Jesus came to the earth, and Jesus was showing people how God wanted to heal people, did Jesus ever pull out a medical case and start giving people shots and doing things? Did he ever do that? See, people say, well, doctors, they're a gift given from God. No, they aren't. They're no more a gift given to God than your garbage man is. Man in wisdom, God developed. We learn how to do things. We learn how to do stuff. But we need to understand when we deal over in the areas, what is a gift from God? I look at the New Testament and I didn't find one place when Jesus gave gifts or the Holy Ghost gave one gifts, a doctor, a garbage man, a car mechanic, or anything was mentioned. Did it? We run around and talk all the time this stuff. We talk this nonsense because we don't know nothing about the spirit realm. The church reads the Bible and talks like the world does. And so we need to change the way we think. We think in flaky. There's a realm of the Spirit. There's a realm, a place where we can tap into the miracle power of God. You can't tap into the miracle power of God from a human, from in the flesh standpoint. You can't tap in. You don't tap into it there. You can't do it. The miracle power of God is a tap into the Spirit. And so we need to understand that. And get a hold of it. That's what changed your life. Jesus Christ came along to change things. He came along to change because there was a dominant force in the earth that was dominating and ruling everything, and that was Satan. Satan was the dominant power. When Adam sinned, God gave Adam dominion over everything. When God created it, He gave him the dominion. You need to have to understand this. You know, people say, well, you can't misuse the things of God. That's the biggest lie on the face of the earth. Adam did. God gave him dominion of the earth and he sold it out to the devil. God can bless you with good and you can use it to the devil's purpose. Oh yeah, we've sure been good at it in this nation. God blessed, oh, they thought, oh, God blessed this nation. Oh, wow, wow. Well, we've sure done evil with it, ain't we? We've done a ton of evil. Well, you can't do it with the things of God. Man, I tell you what, people have more sense in the bars than they got in the churches. They don't buy that stuff. That's why they won't go to church. Because they know it's nonsense. They know it's a bunch of crazy stuff going on down there. But see, we need to understand, God did something about the realm of the Spirit, and He did it through Jesus Christ. And we need to understand this, because there's a power that held sway over it. You remember when Jesus had His temptation, and Satan took Him up on a mountain, and it says He showed Him all the kingdoms of the earth. He said, if you worship these, worship Me, I will give you these kingdoms. He said, that was given to Me. Who did He get them from? He got them from Adam. When Adam sinned, Adam gave control of the earth to Satan. He gave him the dominion. The Bible says this in the New Testament, that speaking of the devil, says he's the god of this world. This world system that operates right now, that most people follow, the majority of people follow in this world, is Satan's kingdom. It's in this world. He's here in this world. He has a right to be here. He was invited in by Adam. Adam gave him the right. Adam was given the dominion, and Adam handed the dominion to Satan when he sinned. And he gave him dominion, and the whole point of Jesus Christ came is to take back dominion for man. That was his purpose. See, if we today, our ideas of how to fix problems was the way you would do it, there would have been no need for Jesus to die and take dominion back from Satan. Who did Jesus always have to confront on doing things? He was dealing with demon powers, operating against Him constantly. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were what? Oppressed of, Ed Gibson, or oppressed of, oppressed of the devil. All sickness and disease is demonic oppression. There is no in between on it. Jesus, it tells us, healed every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. It says so in the Bible. The Bible can't lie. If it's a lie, then Jesus is a lie. So we have to settle the fact. The basis of all sickness and disease comes from demonic power. That's the basis of it. It don't come from heaven. God ain't making people sick to teach them things. If He is, Jesus Christ was a fraud. He was in the earth opposing His own Father. Was He here opposing? He went around healing all the time. The church world today, God's so busy making people sick, He ain't got time to heal. God's in the sick business. God don't have to be in the sick business. You're living in a world that's tainted where demonic powers influence through this earth. Sickness and disease runs rampant in America because it is accepted as good. It's a good financial thing too. It's a good way to make money. It's a good way to do stuff. And don't blame them. Yeah, we love it because I'll tell you what, we can't get enough insurance to pay for it. We just want to have it. Our whole idea is we're in the natural trying to fight spiritual forces. We're trying to fight things. We're trying to deal with sickness and disease on just on a physical level. Man's made some great steps and things that he's done over in the area of physical. But have you ever found out? Are we catching up on anything? What do? In one area we get an advancement, and another area 10 new things come along and are eating everybody's lunch. Because the Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. There ain't enough doctors to ever stop sin, sickness from happening, as long as man keeps living like hell. Because it promotes sickness in the earth. It promotes, as long as men, as long as people think, well, I can have any kind of sexual relationships, I can do anything I want, all this stuff, it's all okay. My words, right now, I mean, epidemics, I mean, here in the United States, we got another strain of gonorrhea that nothing works on to take care of it. We just promote more sex. Let's just have more of it. Let's just get into more of it. I forget what they said about college girls and what they, STD or whatever, STDs or whatever they call them. Well, what the whole thing, it isn't a matter that the majority of the girls have one, the majority of the girls have two or three. Oh, it's just working out wonderful. Jesus loves us all. The wages of sin is death. Ain't ever changed. It ain't ever changed. And we got to know, we're dealing with a spiritual problem. And the answer to it is a spiritual answer. It's not a physical answer. Man's life is changed through the Spirit when one is born again. When you get born again, you pass, the Bible says, from death unto the life. A person becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what happened to you. When you became a new creation, old things passed away and all things became new. When I got born again, it changed. I wasn't the same person anymore. It changed. I don't understand. People say, well, I believe on Jesus and nothing changes. Hold it. It changes. Your life changes. I don't know the kind of life that didn't change. I don't know the kind of life that you get born again and you don't want to ever be around Christians. You don't want to ever go to church. You don't want to ever do. I don't know that kind of life. I've never experienced that one other than I had that before I was saved. That's what I had. I had that life. Well, that life changed. Well, one of the reasons is because people are taught in the natural. You come and accept Jesus for forgiveness of sin. Well, actually, you don't. Literally, you don't. Forgiveness of sin was already taken care of at the cross. When Jesus rose from the dead, all the sin of humanity was forgiven. I didn't accept Jesus to get my sin forgiven. All humanity's sin was already forgiven through Jesus' resurrection. I accepted Jesus so I could get a new life. You just get your sins forgiven, you'll still live like hell. You need to be born again. You'll live like hell. You'll live the same old way you did. What did Israel? Israel once a year would go shed the blood, take it into the holies of holies for forgiveness of sin. What happened next year? They lived like hell. Didn't change their life. Forgiveness of sin won't change your life, but the new birth sure will. Hallelujah. The new birth will change your life. You must be born again. Jesus said it. It's in the book. If people don't like that term, too bad, Jesus said it. Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say, now this is a good idea. Or maybe you'd like to try this. Or we'll make this offer. What do you think? You know, try it for 2 weeks. See if it works. You don't like it, just... He said, you must. Hallelujah. I'll get on my notes sometime here. Hallelujah. Well, the Holy Ghost is moving. But we want to look at something because there's something that we do need to know. And I want you to go to Colossians in the second chapter. Colossians, the second chapter. And... I want to look here in Colossians in the second chapter from verse 13. I want to read you some scripture because one thing that you have to see is you have to see what Jesus did for you. You have to understand it. You got to understand it because you need to understand your authority. If we're given this name which is above every name, we have to understand our authority. In this world, you will find this out. I don't care how much you pray about God, about what the devil's doing. I don't care how much you talk to God about it. God will do nothing about the devil. He ain't going to do nothing about it. The devil dealing in my life is up to me to deal with it. I have to. The church has been given the authority to cast out devils. Jesus said, you go cast out devils. You know, like any time I got a job anyplace, any place I ever got a job at, and like, you know, back when I remember I first started a job, you know, going, I was 16 years old, got a job in a machine shop. you know, a part-time job I had there and that stuff. I worked there in the summers, and then I had, you know, while I was in school, I could get down after school, work for a few hours after. And I'd get down there, and I remember they came down there and they taught me how to do certain jobs. You know, when I went in, they, you know, they gave me the more toy stuff to play with. They don't give you the big stuff to mess with, to, you know, because, you know, they got a lot of money tied up in this thing and they don't need, you know, some kid messing with that. But they'd come and give me a job. Now, I found out this is very interesting. Now, I would like the Christianity to get a hold of this thing. It'll be a major revelation that will revolutionize the church in America. When they came around and gave me a job, do you know what? Nobody did my job. I could have asked the other guys to do my job, and they would have done it. I'd have said, oh, please, do my job for me. Oh, you know, help me, do my job. They still wouldn't have done it. Why? It was my job. It was given to me. If the boss would have came along and says, why ain't the work done? They wouldn't do my job. Believe me, I ask them and ask them and ask them, and they wouldn't do my job. They just wouldn't do it. I don't get it. Why? Because that job was given to me. You need to understand there's things when you enter the kingdom that were given to you. You can ask Jesus to do them for you all you want, and it'll never happen. Jesus said you could ask the Father for anything in my name. You could ask Jesus to ask Dad for something all you want. He ain't ever going to do it. Why? That's your job. That's your job. Satan we cast out. We deal with Satan. Jesus told Peter, I'm going to do something to you guys. I'm going to give you guys the key to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth. In other words, when I leave, this is what's going to happen on the earth. The earth is going to turn out the way you guys let it turn out. We've been praying about a lot of stuff that we shouldn't be praying about. We should have got off our lazy butts, read the Bible, and done it, folk. But we paid these preachers to keep telling us everything's going to be all right. God loves you. He's made you sick and He killed your kid because He really loves you. He's doing something wonderful. It's going to work out all about this stuff. It's going to be just great. You know, He gave you cancer because suffering through it, you're going to learn. I've had people really come tell me, God gave me this to teach me something. I say, what did you learn? Every time, I've never had one person ever tell me they learned anything. They give this blank look in their face. And I just say this to them. God's a total ignoramus, the worst teacher in the world. He keeps giving people stuff to teach them and they never learn. He's a terrible teacher. He would be fired in any school today, according to the church. He's terrible. The Holy Ghost's a moron. He can't do nothing. What did you learn through? Do you know what I learned through sickness? I hate to be sick! You know what I learned about pain? I hate to have pain! That's what I've learned! And I didn't have to go to church to get that. Praise God, I just got good sense. I had enough sense to tell my parents at 11 years old when they asked me if I wanted to go to heaven. I said, no! I said, this God does all this bad stuff to you. Why do you think He's going to be nice when we get there? If He's bad here, He's bad there. If He makes you sick here, He'll make you sick there. Because the Bible has this stupid verse in it. God changes not. See, we got to break loose. There's got to be a freedom. There's got to be sanity in thinking again. You know, just some good common sense thinking would lead you to think that there's a lot of insanity being taught out here about God. God is my deliverer. He has never done anything bad to me. Never one time. I've done a lot of bad to me. I've done things that have caused me problems. I've done stuff, but He has never had. And you know, there's a devil out here, and the only thing he wants to do, he looks at Ed Gibson, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he thinks. But my God has never thought. My God only thinks of, how can I bless Ed? How can I help Ed? How can I help him to achieve the dreams that I've given? How can I do for him? What can I do? That's my God. Now, God worked in Colossians. I didn't go off from there too far. We want to go back over Colossians in the second chapter, verse 13 says, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him. He says, having forgiven us our trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. In other words, through Jesus Christ, the nature of sin, really, the law of sin and death was nailed to the cross when Jesus Christ took our sin. And this is what He's talking about. This is what took place at the cross. At the cross, this is what took place. The cross dealt with sin and death. The Bible says this in New Testament, speaks of the cross. The cross, it speaks of it as being shame. That's where Jesus was shamed in sin for us. That's where Jesus became sin on our behalf. That's when all of our guilt and burden was all put on Him. All the broken law was laid upon Him that mankind had broken. All of it was laid upon Him. That was nailed. That's what was nailed to the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, God didn't just see a son hang on the cross. He saw the law and all the sin of men nailed to that cross. That's what was dying that day. What was dying that day was concerning man was man's sin. What we had done, what man had transgressed, and even to the future of man, what was transgressed was being nailed to that cross. That's what was happening there. Now listen what he said. Now it goes, having what? Disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. When did that take place? That didn't take place at the cross. That took place that day at the tomb when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. What happened was down in the place of the damned. You need to understand this. When people under the nature of sin, when they die, they go to hell. Jesus took our sin. He didn't go down. Jesus didn't go to hell because of his sin. But understand this. The punishment for sin had to take place. If your punishment for your sin didn't take place, then you cannot be saved. It's an impossibility. Understand, there's laws and rules of the Spirit. Sin must be dealt with. Sin always has to be dealt with. Sin can never go unjudged. Read your Old Testament. Look down what God said. A good king would come along after Israel was living like hell, and God would say, I'm going to withstay judgment because you're doing what's right, but the judgment's going to come. Sin must always be judged. Always. Sin's going to be judged. In other words, you're going to have to get that sin under something that deals with it, or judgment will come. Judgment will come. Well, Jesus Christ was about, Jesus took the judgment, and it says, what did he do? He disarmed Satan. He disarmed him. Now, in actuality, the word there used, disarm, means to despoil, was actual word despoil, and that means, despoil means to severely damage or ruin, to take forcefully that which is of value from, to strip a belongings, possession, or value, is to pillage. That was the disarming of Satan, that Satan was disarmed. In other words, the value of whatever Satan had, what allowed him to control and dominate man, that was disarmed. It was taken from him. It was robbed from him by Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand this. Randall Greer had talked about this I was down in Gatlinburg and again in New York. He made this statement. And I want you to get this, because most of the church world has this idea, and I'm sorry, most people that in the church world that believe about devil, they have more big devil than they have big God. they look over what the devil's, because they look around and see all the things the devil's doing, and they get fearful about him doing it to them. And usually he can, because they're fearful. But we need to understand Satan. Jesus Christ made this statement. He said, I saw Satan. He said, I saw him fall like lightning to the earth. I saw this happen. Randall Greer made this statement. He said, you ever think how fast lightning strikes? He said, lightning strikes at the speed of light. 186,000 miles per second. Now that's fast. I don't know about you. That's pretty quick. 186,000 miles per second. I mean, I'm sorry, I've been up to, you know, I've been some pretty high speeds in cars. And I was driving them too, sometimes not in the best condition in my life. And those were years past. And but I just can't imagine 186,000 miles per second. Now, when you think the Earth is 93 million miles away from the sun, and it's like 8-something minutes, you go from the 93 million miles, you cover it in 8-something minutes, man. You thought those people were passing you fast on the freeway. I mean, that's zooming. Now, I want you to think about this. That's how Satan hit the earth. You know, people have this envision that up in heaven, when Satan sinned, they had this big battle. Satan was no battle for God. God flicked that sucker to the earth, and he hit like the coyote, a puff of smoke, poof! And he did it at 186,000 miles per second. He came down to earth. And I can see God saying, and that's that one, bud. That's it. Satan was no match for God. He wasn't in a fight. Do you think the God of this universe that's oh my God, the devil did something, and oh man, we're probably going to lose a lot through this thing. God said, bring that sucker here. I want to talk to that bad boy. He's leaving. And you need to understand this. God went to hell for you. Do you think down there that Jesus fought like crazy to get the keys of hell and death? When the power of God went into him and he was born again, you need to understand, God was standing in hell. He took a hold of Satan and shook those keys out of him and left. They don't have no fight down there. They have some sword fight carrying on and stuff. We minimize God like he has to fight over this stuff for Satan. You and I are in the battle. We're fighting the fight of faith, not God. God licked that boy bad, left there. Jesus wasn't skinned up at all. When he stepped into that dead body that was in that tomb, it came back to life, a resurrected, glorified body. Hallelujah. God came out of that tomb. Satan is no match for God. That same God that stepped out of that tomb, that same God said to the disciples, you go preach the gospel. You tell them people to cast out devils. Do you think the devil is sitting around saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I just know, you know, like it's some big fight. We've treated it like it's a fight. That's why the devil don't go. There's been a fear. There's been a fear of the devil. We feel like we got to get into some big tussle with him. We got to go through some big rigmarole. We've treated him like he was a god. And the Bible says about Satan, when all this is over and men see what he is, it says they're going to say, this guy did that? When men see, I looked into the book and I saw him for what he is. He's no match for my God, and my God made him no match for me. He's not a match anymore. That same Jesus that saw his daddy chuck him out of heaven and him bite the dust down here wouldn't surprise me. That was caused the destruction of the earth, and the earth fell. He hit it so hard. They said it was an asteroid. No, it wasn't. It was the devil's hard head hitting this ground down here at 186,000 miles per second, and all the dinosaurs died. Hallelujah. That same Jesus said, you guys go. And don't put up with the devil. Don't put up with the devil. I disarmed him. All he's got's a big mouth. That's all he has. He'll tell you how bad he is. He'll tell you what he can do. I'll tell you what, you get him the book and tell him what you can do. You tell him what the book says that you can do. Hallelujah. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in verses 6 through 8, it says, in verse 6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Now, it's talking about the rulers of this age. He's not talking about physical men. I want you to understand this. Our problem in Washington is not men. There's a demon spirit that is the ruler of America. We're dealing with rulers over nations. The kingdoms of this world were put into Satan's hand. If the church don't do anything about it, they stay in Satan's hand. Those demonic powers have been operating. Demonic powers have been working. The rulers of this age, the god of this world is Satan. If you look over the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel talks about it, where the angel came and was dealing with the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia was a demonic spirit that dominated Persia. Angels, wouldn't it took an angel, wouldn't it? How on earth could an angel be stopped by some guy? My words, he'd have flicked him and that'd have been it. Been just a little blood spot in the wall and it'd been all over. He wasn't. He was against the rulers and powers. We need to understand what's really ruled and dominated this earth, we find out here. We're speaking of wisdom. There's a wisdom. And that wisdom that is spoken to us is a wisdom far beyond any of the rulers, those spiritual beings that operate in this earth to try to deter men from following the will and purpose of God. Those guys ain't got this wisdom. They can't have this wisdom. They can't understand this wisdom. This wisdom is only for mature. And even the Christian mature. So we know this today. I know without a shadow of a doubt. Most of Christianity has never grown up. They don't know nothing spiritually because they don't know this stuff. We're going to say, what's this wisdom? He said, the rulers of the age. What are they coming to nothing? These ones that are coming to nothing. They're coming to nothing. Oh, I thought they were bad dudes. uphill. Oh, this demonic power. Oh, look how big controls things about our country. We've made it. Oh my God, we've worshipped him. Oh, you're so big. You're so big. Maybe if we could get God to come down and do something. Maybe if we could just pray enough and get God to deal with these things. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It says, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. It wasn't, people say, well, the Jews crucified Jesus. Well, they were tools of Satan, but Satan, the rulers of the world at that time, Satan would have never allowed Jesus to the cross had he known the outcome. Had he known the outcome? Man, I want to tell you what, when he was down there and thought he had Jesus, and the Bible says the Spirit of God went into him and raised him from the dead. Can you imagine in hell when the Spirit of God came into that spirit being that was called Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden resurrected God is standing smack dab in the middle of hell? Can you imagine what Satan goes, oh my God, what did we do? What on earth? What have I done? Could you imagine the wail of hell? Oh my God, what did we do? Mark, we just sold the farm. We were in good shape till we did this stupid thing. I'm going to tell you what. People in America are following demon spirits thinking they're going to put the church under. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a resurrection coming in the church. I'm going to tell you what, and they're going to say, oh my God, why did we ever unloose this? Why did we start persecuting these guys? Why did we start to try to shut down the churches because they preach against sin, adultery, homosexuality, and all that? Why did we ever open our mouth? I'll guarantee you they'll do it. There's going to be a fear going to fall on people. Hallelujah. There'll be a fear fall on ones. Glory to God. Because there's a resurrection coming. Hallelujah. It's already taken place. I don't know if you notice, I got some of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Young's literal translation, it says there in verse 6, it says, in wisdom we speak among the perfect, and the wisdom not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, of those becoming useless. Those becoming useless. Oh, when you talk to the devil, just call him, oh, useless. Hallelujah. Oh, useless. Quit treating him like he's a god. Quit treating him like he's something, you know, that, whoa, we have to reverence. The Amplified Bible says, of that verse 6, it says, yet when we are among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom, the knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden. But it's indeed not a wisdom of this present age or of this world, nor of the leaders and rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. The doomed one. Hallelujah. Oh, just you see the devil call him just old dude. Hey, old dude, come over here. You know you're doomed. Come here. I want to talk to you. What you been saying about me? What you been telling me? Let me tell you what I have to say, old dude. Come over here. You'll find he won't want to talk to you. Now you start calling him by what he is. Call him stuff that's in the book. Hallelujah. Treat him like he is in the book. Quit being afraid of sickness and disease. Talk about the stuff like it is the book talks to you, it says. Quit calling. Just call. I don't care if a doctor gave it a name. You keep calling it by that name. Don't be surprised. You keep it known it. Hallelujah. Good preaching. We love to go tell people all we got. I'll tell you what I got. I got Jesus. That's what I got. I got Jesus. And Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I'll tell you what. I don't go around telling people I'm a scumbag sinner. Why would I go around repeating the sickness and disease the devil's trying to lay on me? Why would I go around and tell everybody about it and promote it like it's something wonderful? Tell our friends, oh, you think you got something? You ought to see what I have. Been. I take 27 medicines, man. I'll tell you what. You don't know what it is to have what I got. Now, phew, I'll tell you. And the devil's there, tell them 28 lie. Make it bigger. Hallelujah. They'll think you're really something. They're doomed to pass away. I'm reading you scriptures of what it says about these authorities that have been dominating and ruling our nation. The church, I'm just sorry, the church has been allowing it. The church has been allowing them. The church has sat back and allowed this stuff to go on. And look, folks, I'm not throwing rocks at you. We, the church, we got to stand up. We got to stand up and say, hey, no more. We got to stand up and say, hey, did we get the keys to the kingdom of whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, that whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven? Or did Peter get an old rusty key that just after a while the head of it broke off and it don't work no more? The last apostle died in most of the churches. The key broke. That was it. Okay, the rest of you now, from now on, the last apostle died. The key's been passed down to the last one. It don't work no more. Good luck till Jesus returns. Best of luck, guys. If it works out for you, good. If it don't, too bad. Hallelujah. Jesus loved apostles, but you scumbag, we're not sure about. Well, let the devil own you. Well, that isn't his plan. I read the book. Hebrews 2, the second chapter. Hebrews, the second chapter. In verse 14, he says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." It says to destroy him. "And release those who through fear of death were all their life subject to bondage." I want to tell you this. You need to understand that. The reason there is so much in this earth that Satan has dominated and ruled is because of the fear of death. Man's fear of death leads man to do horrendous things. The fear of death. I've said this and preached this for years. You'll never learn to walk in over the area of divine healing and get God to heal you as long as you're afraid of death. Sickness and disease is what leads to death. It's a byproduct of sin. It came into the earth through sin. There was no sickness and disease in the garden. As soon as the devil got loosed and was allowed to run and domain in the earth, sickness and disease came on the face of the earth. And it started on the face of the earth. And men are driven to fear that we're going to die. You know, one day I will die in this body. I have no fear of death. If Jesus told me today you're leaving tomorrow, say, well, why not today? Is there something special tomorrow? If it ain't special tomorrow, nothing. Let's go now. Why? I truly believe 100% without a doubt. Ed Gibson will land in heaven at a blink of an eye. It'll be standing faster than Satan got down here. I'm going to be there, boom, in the presence of God. Said, "Woo! Hallelujah! I'm in a place, no more fight going on, no more of this devil junk. Glory to God be in Jesus. Hallelujah." And looking down on earth and saying, what's wrong with those idiots that fight to stay there? What's wrong with them? See, the fear of death, if you lose the fear of death, you'll be able to live. You cannot live till you lose the fear. I am not afraid. It don't bother me anymore. It doesn't bother me anymore getting around things and stuff. Oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Oh, these terrible diseases are going to overrun the earth. Dear, if I got out of faith and died, I'd go to heaven. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? The only reason we get so upset with somebody that they die is because we get over in the area and don't know where they've gone. Hallelujah. When a Christian dies, I know exactly where they went. And I could get a little bit jealous sometimes, thinking, man, I got to stay here with the rest of these folk. Dear God, let me go, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's true. It's real. I'll tell you, I've been places in the Spirit. I've seen things. I've stepped into stuff. I'm going to tell you, the realm is real. And you know what? Every one of you ought to have spiritual experiences. You can have them if you'll start believing God and start acting like that realm. Lose the fear of death. Hallelujah. Lose any fear. Have more of a longing for the things of the Spirit than the things of this earth. And I'll tell you, God will take you over and dip you in some of it. Hallelujah. You'll step into it. That's how you get there. You don't get there by just going around playing around everybody else listening to all this other stupid Christianity. You go over there and you get with God. Say, God, I want you to be more real to me than anything. I've told you guys this before. When I heard Kenneth Hagin made the statement that Jesus Christ is more real to him than his wife laying in the bed beside him. When I first heard that statement, I thought, oh my God, God ain't that real to me. And I thought, I got to do something about this. But I can tell you this. I know God better than I know my wife. Why? Because God changes not. My wife, she can change. Have you ever noticed that, Mike? don't say it. You're off a close there. You can sit in that seat if you like. But it's like any human being. We as human beings, we can change. God changes not. The most phenomenal thing is when I really found that off, that became a revelation to me. That God changes not. What I know about Him stays true forever. He changes not. Man, He's so constant. He's so incredible. He's, oh my God. I can tell you things that I know that if I sought God and asked Him and I'd hear His voice, I know exactly what He'd say. Sometimes I don't know what my wife's going to say to me. Sometimes she's just more kind than I deserve. But God, I know His response. But see, you can know God. And so this is one of the things, this is what we're at. When we understand spiritual things, we begin to know God. There's a wisdom. And we need to walk in this wisdom, this fear of death. In verse 14, in the 20th century New Testament says, therefore, since human nature is the common heritage of the child, Jesus also shared in it in order that by death he might render powerless him whose power lies in death, that is the devil. Throw out the spirit of fear of death. Don't allow that. That comes around you, something comes on and your fear of death starts to come, you stand against that immediately. See, this is what happens to people. I know as a minister, you go to hospitals with people, something serious happens. Most people standing in the room, if I could throw them all out, I might be able to get something done. Because they're all standing there, something serious, and all of them are operating under the fear of death. I've walked in rooms already, and I'm going to tell you what, I could tell the demonic powers in that place, and they're all Christians standing around the person, and they got all their demons around with them, all operating in fear. They let fear into the room. And I said, we're praying to God. You can't put the devil on the scene. You can't drag him in. You got to learn to walk in that place and not be afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death. If somebody's trying to overcome, the last thing they need is me coming in there in my unbelief, opposing them. And you need to understand this. People go into hospitals and oppose people trying to believe God to get well. And they're opposing them because they're there and all their worries and fears and anxieties, they're just dragging demons in with them. So you need to understand, I had to learn these things. If you want to minister to people, you want to help people, you can't be dragging the devil around with you. You can't be hauling them around with you. You not to be the person of life. You know, there's things that I won't go deal with till I'm ready to deal with it. You know, they don't need me there if I'm operating in something else. And we need to know that. We need to understand these things as we deal with them. That fear of death, that is the basis of everything that the devil has done. People are afraid to die. I was the most blessed thing that ever happened in my life when I lost the fear of death. When I lost the fear of death, hallelujah, it revolutionized and changed my life. The day that I had a heart attack, the devil told me I was going to die. Inside of me, there was absolutely zero fear of death. I had no fear of death. Nothing. There was no fear of death. And I just said, devil, you have nothing to do with this thing. This isn't in your hands. This is between me and my God. You don't own me. I had no fear of death whatsoever. I knew if Ed left that earth at that second, I knew where Ed was going to. I knew it. Why be afraid? Oh my God, I'm going to go to heaven. Please help me. Stop it. Stop it. I'm going to go to heaven. Oh my God, I don't want to go to heaven. Please, 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 please. A lot of people, they don't realize, they wouldn't say that they're doing that, but really, when a Christian don't know and is not assured of where they're going, that's the way they're acting. That's why we don't get much good testimonies of people dying anymore and leaving the earth, the Christians, because of the fear of death. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, you don't be afraid. The devil has been rendered powerless concerning death. He does not hold the keys of hell and death. The keys of hell and death Jesus Christ took. And he said concerning the one who had it, you have the authority to throw him out. You do. It was given to you. Hallelujah. Listen to what Romans says. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. We reign in life. If through one man's sin death took over, it's telling us, this one man who delivered us. What is the outcome? It is to reign in life. It is to reign in what life? Into this life. You are in this life. It's about you reigning right now in this life. What do we reign over? Well, number one, we reign over sin. The church preaches, well, you're just going to sin. That isn't what the Bible preaches. The Bible tells us that that sin is bondage. And if you're under sin, you're under bondage. Well, is that what God led us to? Be sin under bondage? No, the Bible tells us that, concerning sin, we've been set free from sin. Well, the church preaches you are not set free from sin. You're just going to sin. We preach bondage, and the fear of death has been preached in the church so much that Christians don't think they can get away from it. They don't think they can get away from it. They don't think our God's big enough. Why? Oh, the devil still has most of his power. He's still running the show. He still holds the keys. No, he doesn't. You're supposed to reign in life. In this life, you're supposed to reign. In this life, you're supposed to reign over sin. You're supposed to reign over sickness and disease. You're supposed to reign over poverty. You're supposed, everything that the devil stole from humanity, you're supposed to reign over it. Now, what is, you know, when we look at the thing, is to reign. What does that mean? Well, domain means, it means, now listen to this, it means royal authority. To reign does not mean just authority. It means royal authority. We're talking about having a dominion over a kingdom. Not just, well, I got some authority. No, you and I have been made rulers in a kingdom. We are called to reign and rule in this kingdom. Does God's kingdom reign over Satan's kingdom? Well, it sure does. Now, men down here, they can turn around and go do what they want. But people down here that want to follow God, they can reign over Satan's kingdom. So you got to decide what kingdom you want to rule in. If you want to go in the world system, which is ruled by the devil, it also means this. It says, it's a royal authority. It is sovereignty. I'll tell you, Ed Gibson is sovereignly in his authority over the devil. I got all that there is. The devil doesn't have any sovereignty in his power anymore. It has been given to Jesus Christ, took it, and it's been given to the church. The church is a sovereign nation in the earth. We're a sovereign nation, a spiritual nation, a royal priesthood, the word says. A royal priesthood. We're kings. We're priests of God. That's what it says. You're here now in the earth. Not someday. Not, hey, in heaven, it don't matter. Up there, there's no demonic powers to rule over up there. So up there, it don't matter at all. It's about what's here. There's no devils to throw out in heaven. God flicked the boy and a third of the angels out with a nice little pfft in the earth. That was done. There's no more of that to do. It's about down here, you and I are now. It says the dominion, sway, or influence of one resembling a monarch. Hallelujah. We're supposed to resemble monarchs in this earth. We have sovereign power. There's not a vote to whether the devil wants to quit messing with me. There's not a vote to sickness and disease if I want it to leave my body. There's not a vote on it. We've been given a sovereign power to deal with it. We've been given a sovereign power over everything that the devil has done. There is, Jesus has all authority. Oh, no, he's still some. Down here, we're still just going to have to get beat around, and we're just going to have to. The authority is sovereign. It's sovereign. It's sovereign. There's no more for the devil to have. There's no more for him to. I'll give you a little bit. What he reigned over us with, he cannot reign. Hallelujah. It also means the time to which, as a sovereign reigns, the time period. Well, we got a time period down here, our lifespan in this earth. Well, it's like Mike said today, we can add days to our life, we can shorten days, we can live a long time or not live long. You decide, are you going to let the devil determine your lifespan? Most Christians do. Most Christians go around, and I hear over the years, hear preachers preach, say, well, you know, God, you know, the Bible says number, he knows the number of your days. Yes, it didn't say he numbered the days. It said he knows how long you're going to live because you're going to choose it. See, he's God. He can't help but know. God knows everything. Because the Bible says, with long life will I satisfy them. Well, if God sent my days, well, what about the guy that died a short life? If God did that, then he lied and said, with long life will I satisfy them. See, the Bible teaches you determine the length that you want to live. You determine how long. Are you going to be satisfied? You determine that. Well, the church sat around and said, no, I ain't determining nothing. No, God just chooses a day. And the devil goes, thank you, they put it in my hands. I can kill them. I can kill them because they ain't going to stand in faith about nothing. Oh boy, I can knock them out. Who determines those days? Does God? No, we do. See, if I hadn't got those things into me, I'd be dead today. I wouldn't be alive today if I hadn't got that stuff in me. The devil would have killed me, and then a bunch of, you know, Christians would have got together and said, you know, the good die young. Yeah? Which is one thing to prove. Don't ever live good. God will kill you. God tells us to live and be good people in the earth, and then he's the guy that kills us. If you live good, you're a goner. So Mike, don't you live good. But God has called you in the name of Jesus to reign and rule. God has called you this. You need to understand this. You don't have to. You're already called to it. You don't need somebody to lay your hands on to the calling. You have to accept it. Are you going to accept what the Word of God says? Or are you going to accept what man tells you? Are you going to accept what religion's been pumping out for centuries to try to defeat us? not knowing. I believe many of them did it in ignorance, but nonetheless, it's as deadly whether it's through ignorance or whatever it's done, whether it's scheming or not. It was done, and it destroys people's lives. The day that you got born again, you became a king. The day that you got born again, you became a priest on that very day. You're not going to someday arise to that place. You already became that place. On that day, all authority in heaven and earth which Jesus had, and Jesus gave to His disciples, He goes, you guys down there, kick the devil out, knock sickness and disease out, go have yourself a big time. The church has been waiting for God. And God's been waiting for the kings to stand up. So let's stand up, kings. You're kings? You're kings? Hallelujah. See, in the kingdom, you know there's no queens. It's all kings. Wow, in the spirit, there's neither male nor female. Everybody's a king. Everybody's a priest. Now see, in the old covenant, none of that could have happened. Hallelujah. Thank God we're not, because see, we're at a higher level than them. We're on a higher level. The Bible says we have a covenant based on better promises. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you stand in a higher position. David, probably in his best revelation he had from God, he never saw how great people would stand in a position that they have today that God has made man. Nobody in the Old Testament ever stood in the place or position that the church stands today. Nobody in the Old Testament was ever seated at the right hand of God. Nobody in the Old Testament was never a king. Hallelujah. A heaven's king. All they were, they could get to be an earthly king or an earthly something. Earthly priests working out of a temple. You and I, the Bible says, God lives us. We're the temple of God. We're the temple of God. Is to see yourself. It's not a matter of getting big-headed. I didn't become any of this because of any greatness that I've done or anything I've achieved. I've gotten all of this free. It came free. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand this. It came free, but gaining the knowledge of it didn't come free. I had to work. I had to work at it, study, listen to stuff over and over and look into the Word. I had to go listen when a preacher said something. I wanted to find out if it was actually in the Bible or it's just, I like this guy's teaching, so we just go ahead and do this stuff, you know. I wanted to find out it was true. I don't care what some other man knows or somebody else knows. I want to know. I want it to be my revelation. I don't care what some... When I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach, he had wonderful revelations, but I wanted those revelations to become my revelations, not his revelations. Because if they didn't become mine, I could never live in them. I don't care how much good preaching you've heard. It's only whatever you've made yours that amounts to anything. And I took revelations that they gave, and I looked and looked and looked and sought after them till those revelations became my revelation. I didn't care what they believed. What they believed didn't help me. It's what I believed was going to help me. What I could get a hold of. And I wanted to know, and I sought. And the Word says, if you'd seek, you'd find. If you'd knock, it'd be opened unto you. And I would seek and seek, and I would look because I wanted to find out. I don't know about you. I was tired of defeat. I was tired of being on the bottom. I was tired of worry dominating my life, of being worried about things. And I got tired of that stuff. I got tired of seeing. Man, I lived in the worry family, man. And what they worried about everything under the sun. And anything that could be worried about, it wouldn't have nothing to do with them. And they were worrying about it. Well, those spirits dominated our lives. That isn't just people. Those spirits dominated our lives. Those spirits want to hang on and stay on in the place. And I had to realize, you know, I had to find out who I was, what I could put to stop, what I could bring to a halt. I had to find out. Because I watched people, you know, and I listened to testimonies of people of God's great glory, but I looked around and I didn't see much great glory. And I said, well, most people don't have this stuff. If it's real, can you have it? Because people ain't walking in it. Nobody's got it. Everybody's out here, you know, they're just doing whatever. Yeah, just trying to get by, standing up, asking for prayer. Like, oh, pray for me that I just might, you know, I could just make it to tomorrow. I just, you know, and it's a struggle. But they were being honest. They didn't know. Nobody told them. Or either somebody told them they didn't believe it, but they believed all the other voices that were telling them, no, you can't go there. You can't go there. I was told by Christians, you know, you're getting too far out there, Ed. You're going too far. I said, let me alone. You think I'm going far now? Wait till you see that I'm done. There's anything that most of the church world hates today is Jesus Christ. They'd hate His ministry. If somebody walks like Jesus, they'll throw them out. They'll throw them out. If anybody believe like Jesus, they'll throw them out. Who do you think you are? I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. There's no demon that can stand against me. Hallelujah. I've become, what the Word says, more than a conqueror. Wouldn't it have been nice if I'd have just been a conqueror? But He said, you're more than a conqueror. That's what I've become. So you need to start claiming yourself. This is what I am. You might look in the mirror and say, man, that's an idiot in there. He's crazy. Everything's been going wrong. You start talking to that man in the mirror and tell him what he's going to be. You tell him what God's made you. You speak about what God has called you and says that you are. You talk about the authority that He's given you. You say those things. You know, you're going to hear enough bad things. You know, you come along and you get attacked by the devil, you'll have enough people around you telling you what's wrong. You don't need to gain the voice of them and start talking it. You start speaking about who you are, what God's done for you. Hallelujah. Because you're going to have enough voices. Why join? You don't need another person to tell you that, you know, that, wow, you're in a bad situation. You don't need that. Hallelujah. But you need to begin to speak who you are and what you are. Because I tell you, in life, you're going to run into things. Things are going to happen. But you need to know this. Once you start to submit to it, there'll be demons standing there to wait to get in the game with you. And if you keep playing the game, they jump in. Loads of Christians are dealing with oppressed minds. The devil owns a good portion of their mind. They have thought on fears and anxieties and worries till spirits have gotten a hold of the way that they think. And they dominate their thinking. They dominate. And they don't see it that way. I don't understand. See, because they try to renew their mind just from a natural standpoint. They don't stand up and say, devil, my mind will not be like this anymore. I'm not going to be a fruit, nut, or flake. My mind is going to think clear in the name of Jesus. I refuse to be flaky. Well, you know, as you get older, your mind goes, well, you've said it long enough till it happened. I want to tell you what, you stop this stuff. You bring this stuff to a halt. We have turned around and let medical science talk us into sickness and disease. No, this is the way it's going to, when you get old, you're just going to get sick. Well, I'm sorry, my dad died at 90 and he didn't get sick. He just died, his body, he just got wore out. He went home to be with Jesus. But see, the rest of everybody, these people, well, I got to get sick to die. Who said that? He said he'd satisfy you with long life and a feeble mind. Is that what he said? No, we didn't. You quit talking what the world talks and says. Hallelujah. My mind is sound. It's good. My thoughts are good. Hallelujah. Age does not have to affect mine. My father's mind at 90 years old was clearer than most people are at 50. Because why? He didn't believe the stupid nonsense. He didn't hang around doctors all the time and listen to medical science tell him all the time he's a nut. But so, you know, he's just going to go crazy when you get old. My God, he was smarter than most of the doctors he's around. He had doctors telling him he couldn't get over certain diseases he'd have for the rest of his life. Well, he didn't die with them. Why? Because he read the best medical book in the world. He read from the best doctor in the world, hallelujah, who knew how to cure every sickness and every disease. He went to something higher. You need to go to something higher. Thank God what man can do, but praise God, man cannot do enough to satisfy this guy. I'm just telling you, man cannot do enough to satisfy me. It'll never happen. Hallelujah. Man can't take me as far as I want to go. They can't take me there. Hallelujah. The people who are trying to take us out of there are dying like flies. They can't take us there. Why? Because they can't get there. Hallelujah. Jesus went the whole way, and He'll take you the whole way. How far do you want to go? How far do you want to go? You'll decide. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank You for here this morning, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You that before me stands kings and priests of God. These are God's children. Hallelujah. Bought and paid for by God Himself. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank You that You're our owner. Hallelujah. Father God, we don't see any kind of physical, piece of paper that declares the ownership. But Father God, we agree with the covenant, and the covenant says we were bought with the price. Father, I want to thank You. I am bought and owned today by heaven. I thank You that these people are bought and owned today by heaven. They are not owned by Satan. They're not owned by somebody else or something else. They are owned by the living God. Hallelujah. Father, they belong to You. Your word says that You bought their body. We're supposed to glorify You in our bodies. I want to thank You, Lord God, You have total ownership. I want to thank You, Lord God, that You own my body, You own my mind, and You own my spirit. Hallelujah. Father God, You're a total owner. And Father God, I'm not trying to take them out of Your hands. Hallelujah. I'm leaving them right in Your hands. That's what the Word says. And Father God, I want to thank You for all the wonderful things that the Word declares concerning us. I want to thank You that Your people are free this morning. They're not bound. They're not bound. I don't care what it might seem like, what might look like is going on in their life. I want to thank You the Word's true, that Jesus Christ has set them free totally in Jesus' name. That they are free. They are not held bound. I thank You, Father, that there's anybody in here that's dealing, Lord God, in the areas, Lord God, of their mind, in the control of their mind, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, I command You to get Your hands off of their mind in Jesus' name, and I declare that they have a sound mind. I thank You their mind is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Their mind is being renewed, Father God. They're being restored. But Father, I thank You they can begin to be able to think clearly, to understand clearly. Satan, get Your hands off in Jesus' name. We refuse the words that have spoken, the words that have been said by people. Lord God, maybe they didn't understand or didn't know, but we received them as ours and said, well, I just have this problem with my mind. I refuse problems with my mind in the name of Jesus. I refuse to have problems. My mind will be clear the way God created it to be clear. My thoughts will be thoughts of holiness and purity. My thoughts will be thoughts in line with the Word of God. Any other thought comes, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I will take authority over that thought. I will refuse to let it work in me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I will think righteously in Jesus' name. Devil, you take your stuff. You can say what you want. I will not receive it in the name of Jesus. I will not receive it. Hallelujah. Don't receive it. Don't take it. Quit letting that bring it up in the past about, well, yeah, this and that. Stop that in the name of Jesus Christ. Refuse to yield to those spirits again about the past. That is nothing but your spirit and your flesh. Talk, shut them up in the name of Jesus. Take authority over your body. You talk to your body. Your body's been bought by God. Speak to your body and tell it needs to come in line with God. Hallelujah. If Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, it is your right to have your body come in line with the Lord Jesus Christ. It must. It must. Hallelujah. Speak to your body in the name of Jesus. God's given you that authority. You're a king. You're the king over your domain. You're the king over your domain. Hallelujah. Take that place as king. You're sovereign in your kingship. You're sovereign in it. There's nobody else has authority to it. I don't care what other people say about you. It don't matter what other people say. You take your place of authority in the name of Jesus and stand in it. Hallelujah. Stand your ground, refusing to move. I don't care if they call you a nut, a flake, or whatever else they call you, or they say you're weird, or other thing. Well, you're this, or you've done that. It don't matter. Today's a new day. Today's a new walk. Today's a new place. Hallelujah. There's the Bible tells us, hallelujah, that concerning the grace of God. What is it? It's new every morning. Hallelujah. There's mercy every morning. Well, you got up this morning. Why don't you have a new one? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quit dragging yesterday and the problem of yesterday into today. Hallelujah. Take authority in the name of Jesus. I'm a king. I'm a priest of God. A priest of the one who stands in the presence of people and commune with God and get a hold of God for people. You can get a hold of God. God will commune with you. You're a priest. Hallelujah. God will talk with you. God will fellowship with you. He's made you a priest. Hallelujah. That's what you are. The world might say you're a nothing, you're a nobody. But I'm telling you, in the kingdom, you, Jesus Christ made you a somebody. You're a something in the kingdom. There's nobody in this natural realm who is not born again stands in the place of where a Christian stands. Hallelujah. Nobody. Glory to God. God didn't create no failures. You ain't no failure. People might have said you were. Maybe you believed it. But I tell you, bring it to an end today. Stop it today. You are not. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God will come and talk to you. God will come. We read, God will come and give you wisdom. God will come. We read about that. God will talk wisdom to you. It's just starting to say, starting to get yourself over. I'm what God says I am. Hallelujah. Every bit of it. Hallelujah. No demon can stand against me. If they could, then they could stand against Jesus. That's impossible. That's impossible. That's impossible. That's impossible. The same authority that Jesus defeated them is the same authority that we use. We say in Jesus' name, devil, out. Hallelujah. And like lightning, poof. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning. I thank you, Father God, there's a people that are leaving this place full of victory today. Hallelujah. Lord God, this is the church of Jesus Christ. We're not just a bunch of old fallen beings just waiting one day for God to come and drag us off the earth. Father God, we're a people waiting for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Your people standing in glory. Hallelujah. The Lord God honoring you, walking in this earth in victory. Father, I thank you that we're going to be known by our soundness and wholeness and wellness in Jesus' name. We're going to be known by the greatness of our God. And Lord God, as the Word says, and in the latter days, there's going to be a people who will rise up and know their God. And Father God, I want to thank you. We're the people. We know who we are and what you made us. We glorify you because it was your work. We're your workmanship. We're your craftsmanship. You made us what we are, and we will not call ourselves anything else. Hallelujah. We'll not defy or defame. Hallelujah. The wonderful work that you made us. Glory to God. We will declare that it's true. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it, Father God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us and through us this week. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Go live in some victory.